on the issue of homosexuality. I think that is a question that we as a body have to really struggle with, because I believe it's difficult to live out of both sides of that thought.
That's Bruce Rise Chow. He's the moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA. It's the largest Presbyterian church body in the United States. It's also increasingly the most liberal Presbyterian church body in the United States. The PCUSA took an action this week in its General Assembly that surprised some, although those who've been watching what's been going on in that church body are probably not surprised. It has to do with the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy. And there's also something about a legal defense fund against congregations that are leaving the Presbyterian Church USA. We'll talk about that with Chuck Burge for the next 15 minutes or so of Issues Etc. Chuck is executive director of the Presbyterian Lay Committee. Chuck, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd, and welcome back to the air.
Thank you. Is it possible to, as Bruce Rice Chow suggested, agree to disagree on the issue of the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy in the Presbyterian Church USA?
Well, I think what you're seeing, Todd, is a result of that attempt trying to be made. It's not. Frankly, it's a jettison of the biblical standards and values which Orthodoxy and Presbyterian were built upon.
What exactly did the Presbyterian Church USA decide to do in General Assembly?
Well, in essence, what they did, and some of the headlines got a little wrong, is they deleted any prohibition about homosexuality and ordination. That's a little different than okaying gay clergy, but in effect and in the long run, it's really the same thing.
What's the context in which that decision was made?
Well, you have to understand Presbyterianism. It's congregational and it is connectional. And when the delegates get together from all over the country, and once every other year now for the Presbyterian Church USA General Assemblies, they vote on a host of overtures that are before them from different presbyteries and churches from around the nation. There are over 100 issues of business that they had to attend to that were just overtures. So it was just a few among many. And what happened is you just see the inevitable slide of any denomination, any organization that chooses to ignore or violate biblical standards and values.
Well, I'm wondering if it is overplayed or underplayed in the press then, whether or not the omission of a mention of gay and lesbian clergy is tantamount to an approval of gay and lesbian clergy.
Again, in effect, I believe it is. I think in the long run, that is what is going to happen because it's headed that way. It's a little more complex, and the press, by its nature, has to make the complex simple, and they get a little puzzled with Presbyterian denominational politics. Frankly, those of us involved with it get a little puzzled with Presbyterian politics. But I think, in essence, what you're going to end up seeing is it's going to take place in some presbyteries and in some not. And the large denomination is going to continue to have, on the whole, a divided mind about this.
Where is the leadership of the Presbyterian Church USA on this issue?
I would say culpable. They are the ones that are responsible, on the whole, for letting this issue go this far. If it had held to the biblical values on which Presbyterianism was founded, this wouldn't even be an issue. But that was an issue that was settled many, many years ago by J. Gresham Machen in the 1920s concerning the authority of the Scriptures in the Presbyterian Church. And as a result, the larger denomination, which is being known increasingly as the more liberal, is the one that gets all the news. There's smaller, more faithful Presbyterian denominations that are working and are very evangelical and very conservative that are worthy of their commendation.
I'm wondering if you could, in some sense, explain to us how it is that the Presbyterian Church USA got to this point. I mean, obviously, it's a long story, and it didn't just begin when they started talking about gay and lesbian clergy.
Right. It didn't. It began, again, with ignoring the biblical prohibitions against it. One of the things the General Assembly did this last week was, for instance, rewrite the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism is a very reformed Dutch conservative statement of faith, and they essentially took out one clause in it that had to do with homosexual perversion, and that was the only thing they left unchanged. What you see is a denomination that has capitulated to culture. you are seeing a denomination that, since it is ignoring the biblical standards, it's adding to the culture and being swept away with it. And as a result, you're seeing people leave. I'm not sure if you've covered this or not, Todd, on this program, but the big news story before the General Assembly last week was the fact that the PCUSA had lost 57,000 members last year. And so people are leaving in droves.
If you track their decline along with other mainline liberal denominations, it generally comes out to about 30% in 30 years. Am I right?
Yep. Pretty much. Actually, if current trends continue, the PCUSA will not exist in 40 years. There will be nobody left.
Where are the lay people on this issue in the Presbyterian Church USA?
Largely in the fog. Aside from the occasional General Assembly story, which the media has been dominated with, they don't understand what's going on. It's so complex. And frankly, there's a lot of small churches that are very, very faithful in their calling with evangelism and sharing Christ and good works. And they're frankly so busy about the work of the ministry in their local congregations, they don't know what's going on at the General Assembly level. What the layman has done in the last 40 years is tell them, report to the lay people in the pews on what's going on, and in a large share, they've been outraged.
Where do you think it's headed with the decision, as innocuous as it may have seemed, being the culmination of a whole series of compromises over the years in the Presbyterian Church USA? What's next for that church body?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right now. You alluded to it at the beginning of the hour about the fact that there are some churches wanting to leave. They see the trajectory of the church, they don't agree with it, and they're frankly wanting, congregations are voting to separate themselves. One of the stories that's gone unheralded from this last General Assembly is that the delegates set up a legal fund to fight churches that want to leave.
What does that mean?
Court battles are taking place even as we speak, because churches are basically voting themselves out of the denomination, wanting to go to a smaller, conservative denomination like the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, or in some cases the Presbyterian Church in America. And the larger denomination is saying, well, if you do, then that's our property and you have to leave it.
Is that true?
Well, that's what the courts are deciding, I'm afraid. What's happening now is the secular courts have gotten involved, and on the whole are ruling in favor of the local congregations. So I would say, no, it's not true. I would say the people who have bought and paid for and used the property, the ones who own it, not the denomination.
If you said just a moment ago that if the trend continues in 40 years, the Presbyterian Church USA won't exist, how does the leadership of that church body justify even just seeing the results of attrition in their own church? How do they justify a continued move toward, as you said, an accommodation to culture?
Well, they just see it as an increased disinterest in organized religion. They see it as something that's just a sign of the times, and there's nothing we can really do about it. And the layman, for years, has been trying to make the case there's a direct connection in jettisoning biblical values and the decline of the denomination, and they just seem to refuse to even see it.
There are other church bodies, the Episcopal Church USA, the United Methodist Church, and several others that have experienced this 30% decline over 30 years that can be canaries in the coal mine for the Presbyterian Church USA. Does the leadership that are pushing for these kind of changes, do they recognize that this move toward an accommodation to culture means that people don't leave just because they're bored, but because they're looking for biblical truth?
Well, you would think so, but I don't think the message is getting through in the PCUSA. To wit, one of the overtures passed was to essentially say that Muslims and Christians are worshiping one God. And if people understand that or misunderstand that, they can see as we're worshiping the same God. Now, they made a distinction between one God and same God, but in effect, it confuses issues. The PCUSA has continually accommodated an ecumenical stand that includes non-Christians. And so what happens is people are looking for distinctions. They're looking for certainty in their faith and their life. and people are increasingly going to churches that offer that, not the churches that are fuzzy and confused.
What do you say to the clergyman, the layperson in the Presbyterian Church USA, who read the story about their church this week in the paper and say, enough is enough, I've got to find someplace else to go? What do you say to them?
Well, the layman has recommended a couple of steps. Number one, not to give a dime to any denominational functions or ministries. Completely refuse any kind of funding from per capita and just say, no, I'm not going to give. I'm going to give to missions through an individual or a separate source, or I'm going to give to a separate ministry, but I refuse to give to denominational work anymore.
About 20 seconds.
Sure. And the second thing I would do is pray about your options. There are some options out there, and encourage your pastor, encourage yourself to get involved and make your voice known.
Chuck Burge is Executive Director of the Presbyterian Lay Committee. Chuck, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
It's sad to see this happen. The name Presbyterian used to mean something. I heard someone just say that a couple weeks ago. You know, the name Presbyterian used to mean something. Now, it sometimes, among some, it means just about anything. I guess you could say the same for other names, including Lutheran. We'll be right back. Talk with Greg Kokel about relativism. On behalf of the entire staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Roger Meyer, Pastor John Berg, Warren Prochnow, Christopher Miller, Pastor Alan Wollenberg, Jason Harris, Carrie Whittle, Pastor Kevin Hahn, and Rich Vanett, thanks for your support.
It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.